Okay, we are holding Parshas Toldos. We have a shiur that we go through Chumash, the Ian, with in depth to discuss each topic. So holding by a fascinating part over here that I want to share with you, which are the brachas that Yitzchak gave Yaakov before he passes away. Let's learn the Pesukim together. We are holding by Perek Chav Zayin, Pasuk Chav Zayin. Vayigash Yichavav. Vayimei Elav Yitzchak Aviv. Yitzchak, his father, told him, Goshana, come close to me, Shekadali Bini, and kiss me, my son. Vayigash Vayishak Lai, and he came close to him, and he kissed him. Vayarech Esriach Begadav, and he smelled the smell of his clothing. Vayivarecheyu, and he benched him. Vayimei Re'ei Riach Bini, Kereach Asada, Shebarech Hashem. Look, the smell of my son is like the field that Hashem blessed. So we see over here is that Yaakov, Yitzchak called him to come closer, and he smelled his clothing, and then he gave him the bracha. And he said, my son, you smell like a field that Hashem blessed. So Rashi says over here, what is, Rashi says that hide of goat does not smell very good. You know, you go into a zoo, you don't necessarily smell really good. So if he's wearing a goat skin, so why does he smell good? Why does he smell delicious? So Rashi says, Ella, rather, shenichzim ha'riach shel Gan Eden. The reason is that Chazal say, the smell of Gan Eden came in with Yaakov. And that's what he was smelling. He was smelling the smell of Gan Eden. Look to Rashi. Rashi continues, k'riach shel shebrech Hashem. Shenasan boy reach tov, a field that Hashem benched and he gave a good smell. Zuk Rashi, zesade tapuchim. This is a field of apples. Kach dorish Rabbi Zinuzal. This is what our Rebbeim taught us. So says Rashi something fascinating. So when Yitzchak says to Yaakov, "You smell like Gan Eden," and how does he say that? He says that by telling him he smells like a field that Hashem blessed. And says Rashi, what is the field Hashem blessed? A field of apples. Sounds like over here that Gan Eden is like an apple orchard. And that's what Rashi's saying. So that's very fascinating that Gan Eden, the analogy of Gan Eden that we have, is like an apple orchard. So let's talk about this for a little bit, the significance of apples. That's going on over here, that Gan Eden is compared to an apple tree. Where do we find the chashivas of apples in the Torah? And why is it that the smell of Gan Eden should be the smell of apples? Okay. So I want to share something very fascinating over here. The Gemara actually says, I have here a sefer that I'm enjoying very much. It's called Midarche Ilonis. It's written by Rabbi Mordechai Malachik. And he says some fascinating things here. He says, what is the significance of an apple tree? So, first he actually brings down that the Tanya Yerushalmi says the field Hashem blessed is referring to the base of Mikdash. But Rashi says it's referring to an apple tree. Okay. So he says like this. He says that the reason the Medrash says is that we know that the clothing that Yaakov was wearing were the clothing that Rivka stole from Esav. Esav had a special coat, and this coat was a coat that he stole from Nimrod. And this coat was not a stama coat. The coat that Rivka dressed him up in was the coat that Adar Rishon wore. And according to the Medrash, these clothing was the clothing that Adam Rishon wore, and with those clothing, Yitzchak Yaakov came in to get the bracha. That's a fascinating discussion, what the significance of that is. But he says he's wearing the clothing that were worn by Adam Rishon. So according to the Medrash, the pshat is because the smell of Gan Eden is the smell of apples, and that is why the clothing had that smell, because these clothing were clothing who came out of Gan Eden. Adam Rishon sent to Gan Eden was actually on the clothing. Okay. Okay. So this is the first pshat. The other pshat over here is, what's the pshat that Gan Eden smells like an apple? So first of all, he brings down the Gemara says that Kala Yisrael is compared to an apple. Because just like an apple tree, the Gemara says the fruits, the flowers that create the apple start sprouting before the leaves. And so too, Klal Yisrael, they, in most trees, first they grow the leaves, which is like the protection, and then they grow the fruits. But the apple tree first grows the flowers, first grows the fruits, and then the leaves come. So that signifies Klal Yisrael that jumped in and said Nasav Nishma. Before they had everything worked out, they were their Nasav Nishma. So we see from here the importance of Nasav Nishma is like, that's like it defines a Yid. You know, a Yid is compared to, the Nasav Nishma is what defines us, and that's why we're compared to an apple, which represents this Nasav Nishma that we do without having it all worked out. So this is one beautiful thought. But I wanted to bring down another Gemara to bring down. The Medrash says, or Bazua Aymer, from the time the apple tree begins flowering until the fruits are ripe is 50 days. So too, from the time that Klal Yisrael left Mitzrayim to see the Torah was 50 days. Namish Nyan the Aymer. An apple also runs Klal Yisrael because from the time it takes 50 days to make an apple, so to speak. And so to Klal Yisrael also took them 50 days from leaving Mitzrayim to Kabbal Soteria. So this is getting fascinating over here. So Klal Yisrael is compared to an apple because an apple tree, it's over, you have two comparisons. I want to point out one more thing. Actually, we say in Davening, in the Hasidic, in Davening, in Nusach Sfard, when we accept Shabbos, we say before the words, Mizmar Shilia, Mizmar LeDavid, we say, "Boy, nakes lika Shabbos Malkasa." Let's go out to greet the Shabbos Queen. Apparently, a line from the Zayir. To eat lecha batapuchem kadishin, to eat holy apples. So I'm just pointing out that it's fascinating. We say before Shabbos, "Let's go to the field to greet the Shabbos Queen, to eat the holy apples." We're talking here a little about the holy apples over here. So when you think of an apple now, you have to understand that this is something serious going on. Apples play a very significant role. In Yiddishkeit, the Jewish people are compared to an apple. This one, it says Gan Eden, we think it should be the smell of an apple. Very, very fascinating. Okay. So, but I want to say something else that was very, very interesting that I found in the Sefer about apples, where he actually talks about apples on Rosh Hashanah. We know that apples also play a very significant role in Rosh Hashanah. We go ahead, and the first Yiratzin that we say is on the apple. And this is actually not simple at all. First of all, we're asking for a sweet New Year, so we could take many, we could take a pear and dip it into honey. And why do you have to take an apple? But besides for that, actually, what I find fascinating is that we really do something, really, the meaning is really to do something which is really connected halacha on Rosh Hashanah, is that we take the apple and we make the eitz on the apple. Now, really, we have a lot of simanim there that are shivas aminim. It's a very fascinating question. Why are we making the eitz on the apple and not on the other Shivas Aminim? People eat dates, and the Rimon is also one Shivas Aminim. You should be making it first on the Rimon and not on the apple. But apparently the Megan Klal Yisrael is, apparently, I don't know pshat, but it seems like there's something very significant about the apple, and we want to take the apple first. And we even do something which is a minig, which seems to be nishtazoy halachically aizkahalpin. Because of the minig. I guess we have other minhagim also. That's, I don't think it's the first time we do a minig that's a little bit not so eiskahalten and halacha. I think the night is seder. Okay, that's a different story. But we have minhagim.
They're dancing on Simchas Torah. We have some in Hagim that are not so halachic. But this seems to be a minig, which seems to be not halachic. Maybe other people have other answers. I don't know, but I'm just pointing it out. This seems to be the minig. But what he says here is something very fascinating. He says, the Ben Yishchai. I'm going to tell you something really fascinating. If you Google how to get rid of garlic breath, okay? So people who have garlic breath and want to get rid of it, as some people don't like having garlic breath, don't like the smell of garlic breath, so garlic is very strong. And people think you go ahead and do some mouthwash and it kills the bad breath, then it's going to kill the garlic breath. But you could try it. I think the garlic breath, the mouthwash does not kill the garlic breath. The garlic breath is very strong and the mouthwash does nothing to it. So if you Google how to get rid of garlic breath, one of the things that will show up, maybe the first thing, will be to eat an apple. The chemistry of an apple will melt away the sharpness, the garlic. It takes away the acid. It neutralizes the garlic. So what I want to say here is the Ben Yishchai says in very fasting. The Ben Yishchai says that on Rosh Hashanah, the apple has the ability to be mamtik the dinim, to sweeten the sharpness of the din. Very fascinating. That just like the apple has the ability to sweeten the sharpness of a sharp taste like garlic, it has the ability to sweeten the sharpness of the din. And that's the reason why we say tapuach, we eat tapuchim on Rosh Hashanah. He also brings down some other fascinating things here. I thought that was very fascinating because you probably should find it on Google. Very fascinating that this is Pasha Ben Chai sticks it in. That's Pasha and Rosh Hashanah. Very, very fascinating. He also brings down something else here. Very fascinating. He says that from the Benay Yisuscher. Okay, this is already getting a little off topic because now we're already talking about the significance of apples of Rosh Hashanah, but just showing there's something very serious going on with apples. They're supposed to be very healthy and they're very part of it, very much representing the Jewish people. Very fascinating. Pesach also says that tapuach, the middle words of tapuach is peivav, and that equals the gematria of elikim. The outer letters is a tough and the ches, and that is the gematria of three different words which all have the same number of value, which is mamain, tzum, kail, and mamain, which is tshuva, tefillah, and tzedakah. So basically, the tapuach represents Hashem is we could cover over the din, which is in the middle, the peivav, the din, with the outer letters, which is tap, a tuf, and ches, and that is with Koil, Tzayim, and Momin. So very, very fascinating. So that's the significance of Tapuach, is to be Mamtik, the Din in Rosh Hashanah. The Midas Din can be Mamtik with Tapuach. So this is Pasha from a Google perspective. It softens the sharp taste and nullifies the sharp taste. And also from a Kabbalistic perspective also, the Midas Adim, which is in the lettering of the Tapuach, the middle of the letter, the outer letters represent Tefillah, Tzedakah, Tzayim, Kail, and Mamain. Okay. So Tzayim is Tshuva, and Kail is Tefillah, and Mamain is Tzedakah. Unbelievable. Okay, very fascinating. This is the significance of Torah, of apples, and then this is the significance. When Yaakov Avinu comes in, he smells like a field which is benched with Hashem, which is an apple field. Okay, let's go ahead and continue a little bit more with the bracha. So he says, "Vayita in lecha leikim, Hashem should give you mital Hashemayim mushmane ha'aretz." Hashem should bless you from the tal of the heaven
Umishmane Aretz, and from the fatness of the land, Rav Dagon Vesirish, with a lot of Dagon, which is grain, Vesirish, and wine. Okay, so let's talk about this for a second. He gives him a bracha. The bracha is that he should go bench with tal. Okay? So let me tell you something very fascinating. So the bracha of Yaakov Avinu begins, the bracha the Yitzhak gives to Yaakov begins with the bracha, he's benching him, he's blessing him, that he should be benched with tal HaShemayim from the dew of heaven. Okay. So let me tell you, the question really is, why is it that he benches him with dew? The Gemara actually says something very interesting. The Gemara actually brings down, and the Gemara says actually that you're actually not obligated to daven for dew. See, really, there's really, you know, we have Mashu Rechem Regeshem, which we daven for. And then we have Marid Atal. Now, really, Nosak Sfarit says Marid Atal. Nosak Ashkenaz just skips it, and they don't daven for anything. So, you'd be saying, Bracha, Nosak Ashkenaz doesn't even daven for Tal the whole year. We don't daven for Tal. And the Gemara says, really, in Rosh Hashanah, you're not even obligated to daven for tal, and that's why they don't daven for tal. And the Gemara says that really Hashem promised that tal is never going to stop. Gemara says, Rosh Hashanah, the tal is never going to stop. So tal is one of those things that happens every single day automatically. You know, Hashem, it seems to be like the way the Chavos Avos explains really, is that we're busy. Most people, what's on their mind? What are they busy thinking about? They're thinking about their parnasa. They're thinking about their health, you know. But really, the Chavos Avos point is that really, like 99% of things in this world happen without us ever thinking about it. Like, no one thinks about is, what are you worried about? What's on your mind? I'm just nervous, you know. I get in a very bad mood if it's dark. I'm just worried if the sun's going to rise tomorrow morning. You know, most things, you know, no one's worried about that, you know. The sun's going to rise, you know. So, Hashem runs the world, really, over 99% of the things he does automatically. And it's all taken care of. And we don't do anything. I mean, a person can live to 105 years, 120 years, and he asked him, did you ever think about your sense, your heart beating? Ever think about your sense of smell or sense of taste? No, it happens automatically. So it's very fascinating is that Hashem, when he gives us something automatically, and the Gemara says, Tal is given automatically. It's given every day. And like Hashem, it's like, The little part that Hashem left over that he doesn't give us automatically, like Parnasa, and that is our point of connection, where we turn to Hashem, we need you, we need help, we're not in control, you know. So this is what's going on with Parnasa. But a lot of things, you know, Hashem does it automatically. And the Gemara says you're not even obligated to daven for these things. You know that you know the Gemara says the Gemara says it's going to happen automatically, and you don't need to daven for it. So the Gemara goes on, we do see that Yonah Navi said there's not going to be tal. So the Gemara says tal shebracha. Sometimes it's something called good tal and not regular tal, and we daven it should be bracha tal. So that could fluctuate a little bit, but basic tal is something which is automatically given. So it's just interesting that he chose to give him this bracha of tal. But I want to share you a very fascinating thing I found in the Tana de Belio. I think it was Tana de Belio. What is it? Maybe it's Avos Dev Nosson. I think it was Tana de Belio. It says that the first night of Pesach is the night that the Eitzer of Tal is open, that the storage house of Tal is open, and therefore Yitzchak called out to Esav, and he said, tonight is a night of Tal. Tonight is a night that the Eitzer of Tal is open, and therefore I want to bench you. And then he said, go ahead and go out and get your kalim, get your vessels,
So he said that actually the whole night, the night of Pesach, the whole brachas began because the night of Pesach is a night of Tal. And Yitzhak wanted to tap into that bracha of the bracha of Tal. And therefore he called Esav and says, Esav, I want to give you the bracha. So it's very fascinating. We'll just talk about this for a little bit. What does it mean? The night of Pesach is a night of Tal. It's the blessings of Pesach is a night which is represented that the night that the Eitzer, the storage house of Tal, is open. Now, I want to say something very fascinating. We know that another connection between Tal, so the question is, what's so special about the first night of Pesach? Why is this connected, the first night of Pesach, to the bracha of Tal, the bracha of dew? So let me say something also interesting, is that we know that actually Pesach morning, after we stay up and we're up so late, we say Tefilas Tal. And that's what we start saying, Meridat Tal. So we see the first night of Pesach. The night of Pesach, the first day of Pesach, is the day of the beginning of Tal. So what is the connection in between? So this is a lot of things going on here. We have the bracha given on the night of Pesach, the bracha of Tal, and we have the prayer, the davening that we say for Tal, for dew, is the first day of Pesach. So we could talk about for a minute, what is the significance of having the dew fall on the first night of Pesach? The Eitzer of Tal being open on the first night of Pesach. So I wanted to share something, a little thought, possibility, in between the connection of Tal and the first night of Pesach. So really, let's talk a little bit about Pesach. It says, the Heilige Svarim, they tell us that the night of Pesach is, well, it's very fascinating. The night of Pesach, we have a minhag in Klal Yisrael to steal the Afikamim on the night of Pesach. Now, I know that's the minhag in Klal Yisrael. Some people, some Gedolim actually spoke out against it. And we're very against stealing the Afikamim. I mean, the night of Pesach is called the night of Chinuch. The Torah says, you teach your children. And the night of Pesach, we want to teach our kids to steal? This seems to be very bad chinuch. There were some gedolim and that are against stealing the afikamen. But this seems to be the minig in Klal Yisrael to steal and to teach our children to steal on the night of Pesach. A very, very, very difficult minig to understand. In my house, we always had a very big fight with one of our brother-in-laws who was very against stealing the afikamen. And he would bring all different quotes, and we used to fight about it. But there seems to be a minhag Klal Yisrael that we steal the Afikamim the night of Pesach. So the Heilige Svarim say that it seems to be that stealing on the night of Pesach is already a very old thing. First of all, we know in the time of the Pesach story that the Levi Mitzrayim, Klal Yisrael got a mitzvah to borrow from the Mitzrayim, and they told them only going for 3 days, and Hashem told Moshe, tell Paro going for 3 days, and then we left Mitzrayim with intention to stay forever, you know, to go forever. So there was a certain trickery that took place on the night of Pesach. But besides for that, Yaakov stole the brachas the night of Pesach. So we see already something's going on about the night of Pesach. It seems to be a stolen night. It's the Avodah of Pesach. What does this mean? The fascinating thing. What does this mean that the night of Pesach is the night of stealing? Well, what does this mean? But it seems to be that stealing is something. There's some sort of Avodah going on Pesach that is something shaykh to grabbing. You know, Yaakov stole the brachas, and Klal Yisrael tricked Paray. And we steal the Afikomen. If Tzaddik says that the night of Pesach, now another raya, a very interesting raya also, we'll say it in a minute. If Tzaddik says the night of Pesach, the Svarim HaKadoshim talk about it, they say the night of Pesach, Klal Yisrael, either it's a medrash, but the Chazal say Klal Yisrael went from Mitzrayim, and the night of Pesach, they they went to Eretz Yisrael, they brought the Pesach in Eretz Yisrael, and they ate the Pesach in Eretz Yisrael. And then they came back to Mitzrayim, and they left Mitzrayim. So whatever this means, it means literal, or it means some sort of avoda, some sort of madrega, I don't know, whatever the Medrash means. I don't know, did Chazal say this lashon that Klal Yisrael experienced the Gula on Pesach, and it was a full Gula. And all the Sfarim say this, if Tzadik says this, he says that the night of Pesach, Klal Yisrael went from one Madrega to the highest Madrega, and then afterwards, we have Sfiras Aimer, that we go slowly from one Madrega to the next. But the night of Pesach is like a Gula from beginning to end, like a full Gula, and that's like a free ride. And then afterwards, we have Sfiras Aimer that we don't count. And this is mamash, a beautiful pshat. It says in the Torah, V'svarta lechem imarches ha-Shabbos. So we call the first night of Pesach Shabbos. And Rav Shimshon Pinkas says something very fascinating. Rav Shimshon Pinkas says that there's a difference in between Shabbos and Yontif. What's the difference between Shabbos and Yontif? So he says Shabbos is, so to speak, is like Hashem's birthday. Shabbos is Shabbos Hayom Hashem. Shabbos is Hashem's day. So when we come to Shabbos, we come to Hashem's Shabbos. Shabbos Hayom Hashem. It's like there's a difference in between. It says difference in Shabbos and Yom Tov. It's like difference between a birthday and an anniversary. So a birthday is my simcha. You know, it's my simcha. You know? So I do it the way I want. And if you want to come, you shtel tzuta, you participate in my simcha, in my celebration. Anniversary is together. They celebrate together. So he says, if you, let's say you go ahead, let's say you make a meeting with someone. So you both decide in a good time. That's Yontif. That's Yontif. Both decide in a good time. Klal Yisrael actually has a say in when Yontif takes place. Yontif was made on Kiddush HaChodesh. Klal Yisrael, that was given, there's a certain amount of Klal Yisrael, it's a meeting place. Ma'id is a meeting place. So Klal Yisrael, that Yontif is an avoda of a relationship with Hashem. And Shabbos is where we're starting to, we're participating in Hashem's Shabbos. So he says, and Fakert, we find in Halacha actually that after Shabbos we make a Malmalka, we escort the Shabbos. Because Shabbos is like a gift. Shabbos is a gift. It's Hashem's. We come, we get it, and then we lose it. And then we have to. And then we go into the week with a chizik, with a strengthening fact took place over Shabbos. But basically, that really leaves us now. Yontif, there's no mitzvah to make a malmalka. On the contrary, on Yontif, what we do is we have Isser Chag. The day after Yontif is also Yontif. So I saw here pshat is that Shabbos leaves, but Yontif is a relationship. We both built it together. And on the contrary, we celebrate the next day is also celebration because it doesn't leave. We're celebrating that we're going into the rest of the year with this madriga that we got from Yontif. It's a whole different story. So that's a pshat. Pesach, the first night of Pesach, even though it's Yontif, but it's a Shabbos day of Yontif. It's a Yontif. We didn't earn it. It's not like the regular Yontif. It's a gift from Hashem. It's Hashem's night. He gives us the inspiration and he takes it away. It's like Shabbos. The first night of Pesach is like Shabbos. Actually, we could say the first night of Pesach is like Shabbos. So that's what it says. Hadach Machal Shabbos. We count Sfira after Shabbos because the first night of Pesach is Shabbos. It's a gift from Hashem. It's a gift from Hashem. So that's Pshat is. So that's Pshat, the Yontif of Pesach. It's a stolen night. Where Zecha, it's interesting, the Seder, if you look at the Seder begins with Kadesh, and it's called Seder. Seder means order, the order of the night. We begin with Kadesh, and we end with Nirtza. We start with Avada Mayinu, we start with Lovin wanted the Akra Sakol. We start from the beginning that, we were slaves, and Lovin wanted to destroy us, I wanted to destroy it. And we end with Nirtza. Nirtza means Beis HaMikdash. We end off the Seder, basically, in a state of celebrating the Gula, of Mashiach. We go from the lowest Madrega on the night of Pesach to Mashiach. That's what we celebrate the night of Seder. Night of Seder, we're able to go from the lowest Madrega to Mashiach, the night of Seder. And afterwards, we start singing these songs, which represent the relationship of Hashem after Mashiach. This is the Chad Gadya, the different thing. But basically, we're going from these Madrigas, and this is what we get on the night of Pesach. So it's a stolen night. It's a night where Zeche Madrigas that we don't really deserve. So Efshar, that's Pshat. We steal the Afikayman, we Yitzchak. The night of Pesach is a night of stolenness. How does this connect to do, perhaps, the Indian of Tal, the Yitzchak of Tal being opened the night of Pesach? So perhaps we could say is I don't know if I saw it, but it's Pasha Pshat. The Mishnah even says that the way the do is, that the do goes up in the morning. So the do, it comes out at night, but really it goes up in the morning. So the real question is, you know, what's the point of dew if it comes down and goes back up? So it seems to me, that the pshat in dew is, either I saw it somewhere, but the pshat in dew is, what's the point of dew? Is, you know, sometimes you have a baby who wants to nurse. You want to get the baby to nurse. But the baby is so hungry. He's such in a bad mood. He's screaming. And you can't even get him to eat. Can't get him to nurse because he's screaming. He's so hungry. So you have to squeeze a little bit of milk into his mouth. And then the priest can discuss, well, I do this on Shabbos. Is it a problem of Farik squeezing? But so you squeeze a few drops, and then he realizes, and then he starts sucking. He realizes, oh, I'm hungry, and he starts sucking. So you're giving him a little bit of food in order to whet his appetite, and then he should start, oh, wow, this is what I want. This is great. This is what I'm hungry, and he starts eating it. So very often, you know, we have a problem. Till we experience a little bit of what it's all about, this, then we start experiencing the solution. And then we realize we need it, and then we start sucking. We latch on, we start sucking. So it seems to be that the ground, you know, just to get rain, you know, is good. But the main thing is that before it rains, it should get dew and get a little bit of moisture. And then it should so to speak, whet its appetite. And then when the rain comes down, then it gets absorbed well into the vegetation, and then it grows healthy. So it seems like the dew is like the freebie. You know, we have the rain that we need daven for Hashem for, you know, and that comes with our schosim, you know. But then the freebie is the little taste that we get that comes for free that Hashem gives us in order for us to whet our appetite and to get excited and to latch on. So it seems as mamish, the night of Pesach with Zeichat and Madrigas and inspirations, and the purpose of that is not, that's really cheap stuff. It's really it's stolen. It's cheap. We got it for free, you know. What it does for us is it whets our appetite, and then we have the Sfiras Omer to go from one Madriga to the next, and to go with excitement and be ready to absorb the Kabbalah Satera. You know, so it seems like the night of Pesach is not very connected to the Avodah of Du. So this is maybe the Pshat, why the night of Pesach is the night of Du. And it also connects very well with Sfiras HaOmer. Okay, Yashar Keach, thanks for listening.